Welcome to Traveling the Bluegrass Uncut. On today's program, we visit with the Wagner family, Dr. Lauren Wagner, Tim Wagner, and Tim's wife, Sherry Wagner, about a unique breed of cattle they're growing on their farm in Trigg County.
Might be a good idea to kind of back up just a little bit and give a little history. In the job I had been in, I had a good bit of idle time because I had to go to the thoroughbred sales in Lexington, which essentially meant that I had to be there, but unless a problem arose, I wasn't involved that much. So I had feeder calves on my place, but I was looking for something else just to try to supplement a little bit more. And got to looking and came across a person by the name of Greg Judy, and then a person by the name of Gabe Brown, Ray Archuleta, a number of people that have been really instrumental in getting regenerative agriculture going.
They were interested in getting the soil healthy, and with soil being healthy, you in turn had healthy animals.
So that's kind of what got our interest up, and I started talking to Tim about it, and in the process we ran across this grass-fed cattle South Pole, and so got to looking into that a little bit more, looking at the traits of them and the things that Teddy Gentry, who is a member of the group Alabama, developed in the 80s. He was looking for an animal that would do well in the South. He was wanting one that would be productive. He wanted one that would be a milker, but not a heavy milker. And he wanted one that would be heat resistant and easy calvers and good mamas. Same thing we all look for, but he decided to work and develop a breed of his own. So he bred the Red Angus to a centipole, and he bred
Hereford
to a Barzona, which was a breed that was developed in Arizona back in the 30s. And then he crossed those F1s and came up with the animal that he has today.
And from there, it has literally grown. And they're a smaller line of cattle as far as their frame, but they finish on grass really in almost the same time frame as, for instance, one of your big black Angus would finish on feed. Mm-hmm. Where the beauty comes in with them is the marbling that is in this meat. A lot of times a grass-fed beef, there almost is a toughness with it. That was one of the traits that he was really looking for, was to have one that was tender, would have marbling, but yet was all grass finished instead of being a grain finish. So all of our cattle, you know, unless somebody specifically says they want a grain finished animal, there is no grain finishing done. It is 100% grass finished, and that's what the cows eat. You know, it's just what God intended for them to have.
Been an interesting situation for you guys. You guys have really developed this here locally and have quite a few on your farm here in Trigg County, right? Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, we do. We have we currently are sitting a total of 72 head of cattle right now. And, of course, that's from steers to calves to the mama cows. But we are, with the South Poles themselves, we are sitting with 48. Mm-hmm. I believe it's 48 South Poles that we actually have right now.
Cows.
The South Pole cows, yes. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, one of the South Pole bulls. But they are, one of the things that is also wonderful about these cattle is the longevity with them. Mm-hmm. My father has two of them that are 15 years old. Wow. And one of them just recently had a wonderful little bull calf. Mm-hmm. The oldest cow that they have had. Now, granted, this is one they go real strict with their breeding. So if they go, they give them a 45-day time frame to breed back. If they don't breed back, they cull these cattle out. And so on the Teddy Gentry, Bent Tree Farms, Teddy Gentry's farm, he had, my father had asked the
farm manager,
mm-hmm. what's the oldest one that you have? And that's when he said, now keep in mind, 45 days is all they get to breed back. He said the oldest one we have is 28 years old. She died this year because she got struck by lightning. So you just think about 28 years. So just figure 26 of those years, she produced a calf and produced it and was going strong until she got struck by lightning.
Didn't die a natural death. So
yeah. Right.
So Sherry, where does your pick? Where do you come into the picture here?
I think I'm the gopher.
The gopher?
No, she's the PR person.
PR person. Yeah. I like to take pictures and video of the farm and advertise us out of there. But also, too, working with the cows to make them docile. And that's one thing with the South Pole breed. They're very docile, gentle cows compared to the Herefords and the Angus, too.
So. And then with them being so docile, I mean, she even gets them more so. We just recently delivered a bull up to some people in Lexington. And they asked my father, they said, so this bull, have y'all been hand feeding this bull? Because they just couldn't believe how docile it was. And no, we haven't. I mean, you know, we go out and we interact with animals. Mm-hmm. And my wife will go out and she'll, as she calls it, moo-moo snacks. But she takes just basically like a little horse treat. And she'll get the animals to where they'll come up to her and they'll, you know, whether it's a bull or a steer or a little heifer or a mama cow. She has a way with cattle that she is tamed towards them, and they're in turn tamed towards her, and it almost creates a curiosity on the bovine, mm-hmm. of like, okay, this isn't a normal person, and so it works that way, and she's very good with the animals.
But that's obviously a good trait when you want, mm-hmm. when you're selling replacement cattle, bulls, to people. It's obviously something they look very much for, especially if they're an older person who gets out in the field with them and has to work on themselves.
When we got ready to unload this bull, the lady that bought the bull, she said, now, if he's a runner, this is a big field. It won't be any problem. And I said, well, he won't run. So we got back there, backed up to the gate, opened the gate of the trailer, and the bull just kind of walked off. He nibbled around on some grass and just kind of wandered off down the way, you know. And then, as he said, she texted me that afternoon, do you all hand feed these cattle? And it's just amazing how docile they are.
But that's the one thing here that we have, because now we're finally starting to get our base here. We're a lot more like the new line that's coming up. You know, as soon as if we have cattle that are not docile, or if we have cattle, because we use a polybraid fence, so it's a single line electric fence, and we move the cattle, and they literally can just step right over it. But if they decide that they no longer want to obey the rules, and they want to step over and they don't want to stay in the paddock, they're gone. If we have something, you know, if we have one that's wild or one that's mean, when they get of age, it leaves, because we're not going to have wild cattle, because that's one of the traits with the South Pole, is they're extremely docile, and so that helps in that. You know, you're still going to get some that will be high headed, as with any cow, but it's far and few between.
You have to be able to handle on the farm. That's important, very important, and of course, you know, the other aspect of this too, I think, is that it's a good meat breed. You mentioned that, Tim, earlier about the carcass and the marbling of the steaks and so forth. And so with the beef industry and where it is right now, obviously a good time to be in the beef business, and this is a good meat option out there for folks.
It is. It, one of the things a lot of people don't realize with grass-fed, when it's straight grass-fed, the omega-3 that is in the beef is actually there. There are more trace minerals there. It's actually the cholesterol and the fat that is in that meat is actually a cholesterol and fat that your body actually needs, not the bad cholesterol from, you know. And so it's good for you. It is a really nutritious, healthy meat, and it has a great taste. You know, I personally, there is a difference in taste between grass-fed and grain-fed. Mm-hmm. I like both of them, but I like grass-fed better. And I can eat twice as much grass-fed and not feel guilty as I would if it was grain-fed. But it has a really good taste to it. And there is a little difference in the color. Mm-hmm. And the taste is a little different, like I said, than what it would be with a grain-fed.
You've seen a lot more interest, obviously, the last few months, I'm sure you have, in what you guys are producing, from people who say, you know, I want to look at grass-fed beef, or I want to look at local beef as an option versus depending on just what's at the grocery store these days.
Right. And that's one of the things that we really kind of got into this. One, to provide a healthy alternative, and the other, to basically serve our community, because they go hand in hand with each other, you know. And when you have animals, and people are getting to where they're looking for this more. They're looking for the way the animals are raised. They want to know how they're raised. They want to know where they're raised. Mm-hmm. Are they kept in a small, tight barn, or are they actually out doing what a cow is supposed to do? How are they treated? Mm-hmm. You know, do they have somebody that treats them humanely and well, like my wife does and like we do, or are they being put through the ringer like they do at the feed yards? The conscience of the buyers today is different than what it was 20, 30 years ago.
And I think also that I think the public in general is becoming more aware of nutritional value and nutritional quality of what they eat.
Our guests today on Traveling Bluegrass Uncut, Dr. Lauren Wagner, Tim Wagner, and Sherry Wagner. I'm Alan Watts, Traveling the Bluegrass.